Well, if it's every other Tuesday, it's time to be electrified by Astro Bob King. And folks are just really enjoying and are just relieved to pour all of their pent-up positive energies into this whole Mars rover, everybody's going to Mars kind of thing. Mr. Astro Bob King, good morning there, sunshine. How are ya?
I'm doing great. I spent some time on Mars, too, and I didn't want to come back home.
Oh,
but
well.
I decided in the end the food was better here. So.
Okay, well, I'm so glad that you went. Did you have a chance to see the rover?
Yes, I did. Everything's working fine. The umbilical cord has been cut between the rover and the descent vehicle, and she's on her own. So,
pretty darn impressive.
Well, it was really wonderful, the video, right? And hopefully if people did not see the video yet, of the whole thing, it's really high quality video of the heat shield being dropped, the descent vehicle images or video coming down to the surface, the dust blowing, everything. You can see it on my blog, and it's one of the free ones, Lisa. People can just type in astrobob1.blogspot.com, or we can make a link when I'm done here.
We'll definitely get a link set up so it'll be easy for folks to find.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, we post the links, but you just have to sometimes wait a little bit before you can open them.
Sure, but it's a beautiful video, taken from several different perspectives, and my blog also has the sound file on it, so you can hear the first flutters of Martian wind.
It sounds like
a gentle spring day on Mars.
Does it?
And it actually is spring where they landed the rover.
Wind sound the same on Mars? I haven't listened yet. I saw them and I thought I want to go back and listen to this. And then of course you know how it goes.
Well,
does wind sound the same?
Having recorded many things in breezes, you would instantly recognize that sort of flutter that you get that a microphone picks up when a wind goes by.
So it goes.
And it's only a few seconds. But you can hear, there's two versions. There's one where you can hear the hum of the rover, and then they remove that electronic noise, and you just hear the wind. I think what the main thing is with the wind is that even though it's just a fluttering sound, it lends presence to being on Mars. I mean, it gives you a sense of, oh, wow, that's a wind. You know, you can feel it, in other words, not just see it. And as one of the investigators explains, for people who cannot see, It's the first real opportunity to sort of connect to being on Mars through hearing.
Wow.
So it also offers that. So I think it's just so positive and so refreshing. And it's an amazing achievement. I think a few people have, you know, little discussions have popped up about this and seeing the video and the emotional reaction to it. Sometimes people have been brought almost to tears. And I think we're just happy to see what good people coming together can do to just make something wonderful.
Right.
You know, it's that sense of unity and very powerful emotion.
And focus on something kind of outside ourselves and not necessarily a focus on, attacking some things. We need to have discord about. That's important. But the, like you say, that unity and coming together and focusing on a bigger goal than individuals, what a great thing.
Yeah, and unity, I mean, we're in unity against the pandemic, but this is a little bit different in that it's such an accomplishment. You know, and the pandemic, you know, we're getting through that too, but the sense of sharing of an accomplishment is a wonderful thing. So I encourage everyone to click that link or just go on and check that video out and enjoy it and listen to Mars and see what you think. Speaking of Mars, I'm going to segue here into the planet, because what's really neat is that while that video is out there and we're starting to explore Mars and there's a bunch of brand new photographs showing the landing site and the delta and the distance, you know, that from within Jezero crater, while we're seeing all that on Mars, you can look up and see Mars at night still. It's fairly bright, and it's easy to see. You just turn yourself, pivot towards the southwest, and get out there at about 7:30 or so. Look roughly halfway up in the sky, and you'll see a bright reddish star there. That's Mars. And Mars is always on the move, right? Just like you, Lisa.
Oh, yeah,
it
absolutely.
It always has a task. It's moving in a direction, And it's moving, like all the planets, the outer planets do, moving to the east across our sky, day by day, month by month. And this Friday, which is what? No? Yeah, no, this Sunday, pardon me.
The 28th.
8th, which is the last day of February, Mars will be in conjunction with the Pleiades, the Seven Sisters star cluster.
Oh.
So it's going to be near the cluster all week and into next week, but it'll be closest right over the weekend. So just look up at Mars. And, of course, we do have a bright moon this weekend. That's another thing to watch. But above Mars, you'll see the Pleiades cluster, that little dipper-shaped group of stars. And if you have any difficulty, just take a pair of binoculars. And if you point it at Mars, you'll see the Pleiades in the same field of view.
How about that? Mars just goes from pillar to post, just conjuncting with everybody.
Yeah, it's you know, it's like an itinerant musician.
Yeah.
Just, you know, palace to palace.
Sure, showing up. Anybody want to, you know, anybody want to gig with me?
Yeah, looking for
then
a gig.
On it goes.
And you can look at that little red dot and just know that there's a rover up there taking pictures and zapping stuff. Speaking of sounds, that's one thing that it's the microphone that is, it records the sounds is next to something or built into an instrument called a supercam. And the supercam, it does take photos, but it also zaps. It's got a laser in it, and it zaps rocks and vaporizes them.
Oh, really? Do you have a camera that does that?
Yeah, it uses a laser to zap the rocks, heats them up to 18,000 degrees. And when you do that to a little sample, it vaporizes. And then it's got a spectrometer on it that can look at the glowing vapor and determine what minerals, what the rock is composed of. So, awesome instrument.
That seems a little much.
Well, you need
you know,
a little much.
Well, yeah, but Laura Erickson talks a lot about, well, not, well, I won't say a lot, but she has brought up a few incidents from the past where scientists in the 19th century decided they were going to try to figure out how birds did X, Y, and Z. And the experiments were horrible. I mean, they were ghastly. They were inhumane. They were horrible. And
yeah, I can
picture this thing zapping a rock, vaporizing it, going, oh, that was intelligent life, and I just vaporized it. Darn it.
Well, they know what they're pointing at first.
Okay.
And it's just a rock, so it'll be okay.
There were scientists in the 19th century that said, it's just a bird. Who cares?
Well,
I'm just saying, yeah. So now I'm advocating for
rocks today. But, you know, there haven't been a lot of geologists, I guess, have advocated for them for
right.
a long time.
Right.
So anyway, we can look at Mars. You can watch it keep moving to the east, passing underneath the Pleiades. The moon, you probably have noticed, is growing. It is. Its phase is expanding from half, and it's now moving towards gibbous phase, towards three-quarters. And that means we're getting set up for a full moon this weekend that will occur. Here, I've got my weekend, my calendar days off. I say weekend when I mean the Friday and Saturday.
Okay, 26th and 27th.
Yeah, 26th, 27th. The moon will actually look full on both nights, and your calendars are going to say the 27th is full moon. But it will be fuller just by a hair on Friday night, the 26th. And if the ice is still on the lake, it might be a nice opportunity, so long as it's safe and it's packed in tight, to at least tread over to the shore and watch a moonrise, full moonrise from Lake Superior.
Ooh.
I'm going to go down. If the ice is safe, I'm going to walk out a little ways just to be in that incredible openness and watch the moon rise.
Well, I can think of some people who'd be happy to throw on masks and socially distantly walk on the, you know, down with you a little bit.
Sure.
And if there was a human chain, if the ice gave way or if somebody broke off, we'd be able to save one another.
I know. You always have to be super safe. I did go down there with my daughter a few days ago, and we had a great time walking on the ice. It was very safe. We stayed near the shore, so not way out where the ice houses are.
You got to be, if you're me, you got to be, okay, if the ice falls through, can I stand up where I'm standing? Oh, you know, if it's over my head, I'm in trouble.
That's really good.
Because I'm very dense.
Yeah, you don't have to go out far to watch the moonrise. Not at all. You can just stand at the beach, you know, along anywhere here in Duluth, and it'll come up down the lake. The trees shouldn't block it. So, yeah, I'd recommend watching the moonrise, Mars and the Pleiades, and also now through the end of March, so that's a little more than a month, we have the brightest and one of the biggest asteroids in view. And for listeners who have never seen an asteroid, it doesn't look like much, let me tell you that.
Let me guess, it looks like just a rock.
No, that would be wonderful. It looks like just a star.
Oh.
Because they're too tiny to look like anything else, which is actually the root of the word asteroid, aster, which means star or star-like. So the brightest one, though, is Vesta. And if you live in the country, once the full moon is gone, around about March 1st, you can go out and see Vesta with your naked eye. It's faint, all right? It's at the limit of vision, but it is visible faintly without any optical aid. But it's super easy in a pair of binoculars. You can put any old pair of binoculars you got laying around the house. And I'm doing an article on that that I will publish today, and if you like, you can link to that, too. It has a map in there and how to find it.
Oh, super cool.
Yeah, and then some facts about Vesta, including something really interesting. We have chunks of this on Earth.
Really?
This is one of the few asteroids for which we positively identified meteorites that have fallen to Earth as coming from Vesta.
Hmm.
Which is amazing. And the reason we know this is because
we vaporized them.
A spacecraft called Dawn to Vesta back in 2011, 2012. And it orbited Vesta for like 14 months, studied the mineralogy. And what do you know? Same minerals, everything. It's identical. Came from Vesta, the ones that fell on the Earth. And Vesta is missing the bottom part of itself, the south polar part, from a huge impact. So who knows? Maybe the meteorites that we have on the Earth came from that impact, which happened about a billion years ago.
And we don't know exactly how these pieces came, either how these pieces came to be on Earth or how Vesta lost its chunk.
It lost its butt.
Yes,
it
okay.
It
right,
lost,
and so
let's just be honest. Let's just say it. It lost its butt.
Oh, my. Because, so this could be asteroid butt.
Asteroid butt is totally a big problem a billion years ago. We know what happened. Some other smaller asteroid struck it and practically destroyed it. Knocked off a chunk, a lot of Vesta, into space. And we know how Jupiter's gravity can sort of affect pieces flying around in space near an asteroid after an impact and send them into orbits. Jupiter's gravity can change the orbit of some of these stray wild pieces now and send some of them into orbits that pass near the Earth. And for eons, there were probably a whole bunch of near misses. And then how many thousands of years ago, there was a hit. A piece finally landed. Not just one piece. They've been landing over the decades and centuries. We have many pieces of Vesta.
I just can't get over how you go outside, you see the stars. Maybe if you feel like you're super clever, you can identify a couple of constellations or point out the Big Dipper. And yet you talk to you, and it's like, oh, my heavens, there's stuff going on all the time, and it's exciting, and it's wow. And it's like all of a sudden you start to get it. It's like, wow.
Yeah, well, what's really cool is that in our daily life, you know, we tend to be moving in a tight little circle, but the cosmos is always present, and it's always kind of reaching its fingers into what happens on the Earth in so many ways. And the more you learn about the sky, and you know, the more you see all these connections happening all the time. We are connected in a billion ways to the universe. You know, it plays itself out right here on Earth in so many ways. So that's what makes astronomy a lot of fun. It's totally cosmic, but yet, oh, wow, we're part of the show. Okay, right, I understand.
I'm impressed. All right. Well, you work on the a laser for your camera. Let me know how that works once you get it set up,
because
I think that'd be sort of fun to try out. And in the meantime, can't wait to talk to you again in a couple of weeks, because stuff's going on, man.
Stuff's going on. Yeah, I'll be out there. I'll be vaporizing ice with my camera.
That'll be
You'll
super
see
fun.
Out. You'll see the.
He'll be hard to miss.
You'll see the steam rising from Lake Superior. You'll know it's me.
You say, gee, I hope that guy's wearing a life jacket. All right, Bob. Thanks a million. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thank you so much, Lisa. Take care.
Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy, a regular feature of every other Tuesday right here on 103.3 KUMD.